This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by Dr. John Newton. John is Director of Market Intelligence with the American Farm Bureau Federation. John, let's start a little background about you and what brought you to Farm Bureau.
Well, I've got a long background working in ag. I started in agriculture back in 2004. Working for the USDA. I spent 10 years working for USDA, and then I did my doctorate work at The Ohio State in risk management and commodity markets. Was on faculty at the University of Illinois for about a year before coming to D.C., did some work on dairy policy, worked on the Ag Committee for some time, and then joined Farm Bureau about a year ago.
Let's talk about, since you mentioned USDA and Washington, budget time right now, fiscal year 2018 budget proposal from the president. And when we look at ag, and actually not just ag, but other areas that tie into ag, we see some deep cuts. We expected that, but does that present a challenge?
It certainly does, because if you look at rural America, you think about from the Appalachian Mountains to the Colorado, to the Rocky Mountains, all those farmers in between that depend on rural infrastructure budget, an ag budget, and to see the kind of proposed cuts, especially to things like crop insurance, that's really disappointing to farmers because that's one of their most important safety nets. And that the proposal, really guts crop insurance. It guts the subsidies that farmers need in order to purchase crop insurance. It takes away some of the best components of crop insurance in the harvest price option. So it's really disappointing to farmers to see that proposal. As well as some of the income limitations on the Title I safety net programs that farmers so desperately need.
Well, and just the fact that ag has continued to have that budget cut, but not just have cuts in the budget, but savings as well. The looks as though the bill has performed very well in the past.
Yeah, I think, you can't balance the budget on the back of farmers. The last farm bill, farmers and ag did their part by cutting expenditures by about $23 billion over 10 years. And in today's farm economy, with net farm income down nearly 50%, we really don't think it's the time to start cutting farmers' safety nets. We need to think about enhancing them.
Let's talk about the farm bill now and a couple of angles here. There are definitely two commodities that have not seen the safety net, if you will, from the farm bill. One is cotton, one is dairy. Does that present some challenges?
It certainly does. Let's look at cotton first. Cotton used to be a Title I covered commodity. We had a WTO case that we settled with Brazil, and cotton was ultimately removed from Title I. It did get an insurance product in exchange, the Stax program, but that's grossly underperformed relative to farmers' expectations. A similar story on the dairy side. Dairy is a $40 billion industry, has a $75 million safety net every year. So it really doesn't fit the scale of the dairy industry, the value of the dairy industry. In these past 2 years, dairy farmers actually paid the government $100 million for their safety net program and got about $12 million back. At a time when milk prices fell by 50%, dairy farm revenue fell by $10 billion, and milk prices fell to their lowest level since the recession. So dairy farmers and cotton producers, both of their safety nets really need to be revised, and in this budget environment, it really gets challenging.
So you mentioned the Stax program. At this point, that's all cotton has, is an insurance product as some type of a safety net. Dairy... any insurance product, or is there something on the horizon?
We've been working with our insurance arm, American Farm Bureau Insurance Services, to build a new dairy insurance product. The product's called Dairy Revenue Protection, and it's just like a lot of the other crop insurance products, the most popular crop insurance products on the market, and this would protect a dairy farmer's revenue over a quarterly period. So January, February, March, April, May, June, et cetera. So a dairy farmer could come in and put revenue protection on any of the quarters that they think is a risk to them, and it would be a market-based instrument. We went and we presented it to the FCIC Board of Directors back in May, and it was approved to go out for review. So once we get the comments back from the expert reviewers, we'll continue to develop out the product and hopefully meet the fall deadline to submit this product as a full 508 crop insurance product.
Tie this back to some of the recent hearings on Capitol Hill. Secretary of Ag, Sonny Perdue, has talked about crop insurance, but he's also talked about crop insurance and the idea of producers making money. Can that really happen?
You know, that's just simply not the case. I think, you know, farmers use crop insurance as a catastrophic risk tool. A lot of farmers take 15 to 20% deductibles on their crop insurance policies. So they need to suffer a loss before crop insurance really starts making any payments. The idea that crop insurance is a moneymaker for farmers is not true. It's actually a very important safety net for them.
Let's talk about an opportunity for the industry now. Details coming out on the U.S.-Chinese agreement to reopen the market to beef. That's been closed for, well, since three. Yeah, the BSE incidents. Is that a positive for beef producers and for the industry here in the U.S.?
It certainly can be. So the Chinese consumer, as their incomes have improved, we've seen it across a variety of commodities that they can really be a game changer in terms of demand. When you look at what they've done for our soybean complex, what they've done for the dairy complex, for other countries around the world, this is a very, very significant opportunity for U.S. beef producers. China's now importing more meat cuts of beef as opposed to the offal parts of the animal. So their demand is certainly there, billions of dollars a year in beef imports. We have some hurdles to overcome in order to be a consistent supplier of beef, but I believe our premium products will be something of value to the Chinese consumer.
Does this come with some challenges, maybe some areas things we don't have in place as an industry as of yet?
Yeah, I think the biggest hurdle is going to be this animal traceability. We need to be able to document when that animal came into the supply chain and when that animal exited the supply chain. That type of traceability in cattle, I think we can certainly do it. We're certainly doing it with some of our branded beef products, but we need to do that along the supply chain in order to meet the demands of the Chinese consumer.
So now I want you to put on your futuristic goggles. I want you to look down the road, some of the challenges you see coming for ag in general, but also want to see what your opportunities might be. That thing out there that has you kind of smile and say, hey, this is going to be great.
You know, I think the biggest challenge that a lot of our growers are recognizing now is we're in a global economy. Global ag economy. We depend a lot on exports. We export, a large portion of our soybeans and our corn crops each year. But we have competitors around the world. Brazil has probably about 400 million acres of cropland that they haven't even cultivated yet. And they're a major player in the soybean market. We have similar competition in Europe and dairy. In other countries for beef, other countries for pork. So our growers need to utilize our efficiencies, our economies of scale, and the quality of our products in order to continue to deliver and meet the demands of the consumers around the world. That's the challenge, because right now we have, a glut of commodities around the world, so to speak, and commodity prices are low. But I think the opportunity is, there are a lot of mouths to feed in this world. 96% of the mouths to feed are outside of these borders. And so there is an opportunity to meet those customers' demands that live in other parts of the world.
Finally, Farm Bureau, there's a lot of work that you're doing in market intelligence. Is that available on the website? And if so, how do we find it and how can that be used?
Well, each Wednesday we do a spot on RFD TV at 11 Central where we get on and talk about the current trends that we see and that we're working on in the ag economy or even in the policy arena. And then on our website, fb.org/marketintel, we post articles several times a week that's looking at, you know, things that are happening in the ag economy or in the foreign policy arena. So, for example, we looked at the Conservation Reserve Program enrollment issues in recent weeks, and we also put an article up on Chinese beef opportunities. And then we're on Twitter as well, so you can follow us at FB Market Intel.
It's great to see you. Thanks for your time, your work. Wish you the best.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Dr. John Newton is Director of Market Intelligence with the American Farm Bureau Federation. I'm Tony St. James. This is the Agribusiness Report.